Hello and welcome to the Sounds of Salisbury podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Ellen.
And we're here to bring you the sounds of the Salisbury music scene.
And the voices of the community.
Yeah, and you can see us. Oh my God.
I feel like I've just gone onto live TV. I'm terrified.
It's a bit weird. It really is a bit weird. I'm not sure that's working.
Yeah, Lily can hear us.
Oh, well. Technicals, just we'll go with it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Ellen.
Yes.
Would you like to explain to our viewers and listeners what our theme is today?
Okay, our theme this week is evolution. Two reasons for evolution. Firstly, the podcast has evolved into a visual podcast as well as an audio podcast. And secondly, we have a very special guest who has founded the Evolution Choir. So the two fitted really nicely together. A lady called Lily Badcock. We're going to start chatting about other things that she does first. So if you're interested in the Evolution Choir, you're going to have to wait before we talk about that.
Okay, so shall we bring in Lily?
Let's bring in Lily. Hello, Lily, and welcome to the Sounds of Salisbury podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting. I'm very honoured to be on the first one with video, and I'm excited that I actually brushed my hair today.
You look fabulous. I'm a little bit worried that the lights and my glasses, if I haven't got my glasses on, I can't see you. So I'm kind of a bit head down.
That's all right. That's okay. I'll avert my eyes.
I want to blind you with my glasses. Okay. So firstly, I'd like to ask you about the sound Reiki meditation. So it's something I've come across on Facebook. And I know my sister actually has attended a couple of your self Reiki meditation evenings. And you do it on a Sunday evening, I believe.
Yep, last Sunday of every month at the moment is when they're happening.
Excellent. Yeah. Is that every month? Sorry.
Every month. So because it's a new thing, I booked 6 months and we are, where are we now? April. So it's definitely going until June, but they've become so popular that I feel sure they'll continue. And as long as the venue can continue to accommodate me, then yeah, we'll keep them on the last Sunday of the month. But it's one of the highlights of my month. I absolutely love doing it.
How did you get into sound Reiki?
So this is a interesting one. So I was diagnosed with anxiety years ago in 2013. And I was very fortunate in that when the doctor told me that's what I was dealing with, he also told me, you don't need these meds that we're going to give you. You don't need to stay on them. You can find other ways to do it. And so I tried hypnotherapy. That led me to yoga. Yoga kind of, the yoga that I went to, the lady was extremely spiritual and started talking about chakras and energy. And I was just like, I don't know about any of this stuff. And it kind of evolved. And then as part of my own journey through anxiety, I launched my own podcast because I wanted to talk about my experiences and I wanted to connect with other people all around the world who were dealing with stress, anxiety, depression. And one of the people that came on was the founder of the Sound Reiki Institute, Catherine Varga, and her partner, Heather Hannon. And then they gifted me the program for Sound Reiki. And through that podcast, I was gifted a lot of things. Lots of people were very grateful for the exposure. So I would quite often be offered various things. And something about the Sound Reiki just piqued my interest because it was energy healing that I'd experienced and I knew it was powerful, but it was through singing, which is obviously my thing. And so I took the course and I actually was studying it through lockdown. I spent about a year on each of the levels. So I'm now at the top level, which is master. And I think at the time I qualified, I was only the second sound Reiki master in the whole of the UK. It's a brand new thing. And I just love it because it takes the principles of Reiki. But instead of doing, I think regular Reiki practitioners use hands, it's like healing hands. I heal through the voice. So it's using the vibrations and the tones of singing and directing them with intention to facilitate healing and to help people navigate emotions and to release any pent up stuck emotions that they might be carrying in their body.
Wow.
That's amazing. And with sound, you can then, I know I'm going to say the word treat, whether it's a treatment, but you can deliver maybe to a whole room full of people at the same time. Then it doesn't have to be a hands-on one-to-one experience.
And it's interesting because I've done it. The biggest group I've done it for so far was about 45 people. And the smallest group I've done it for is 3. And what I find is I can feel the potency of it. The smaller the group, the stronger the healing. It's almost like it gets diluted. So in really massive groups, it still works and it's still beautiful. But the shifts and the results people get when I've got these smaller groups of like 9 people, 10 people, like 15 people, it still blows my mind. I'm half skeptic and half believer because I love to believe in all this stuff. But I also like the science. I like things that are tangible. I like to know why something works. And I'm still mind blown when people just involuntarily start crying. The minute I start singing, we call it leaking, which sounds kind of gross, but it's only leaking from the eyes. they literally leak tears, and it's like their bodies are releasing the thing that they don't need anymore. And I actually read something recently. It was a study that they'd done with tears under a microscope. And they looked at the tears of someone crying happy tears versus the tears of somebody crying through grief. And the tears looked different. They were structurally different when they were sad versus when they were through happiness and joy. So
wow,
it's crazy, right? And so I think that the sound Reiki does facilitate this release. And, you know, we all have trauma. We all grow up with trauma of some kind. And some people carry very deep trauma, and it's very what we'd call big T trauma, you know, the obvious things.
Yeah.
Almost everybody, if not everybody, has experienced little T trauma, which is, you know, being bullied at school or being laughed at because you did something that you loved, or, you know, and it's called little T trauma because the older you get and the more you learn, you realize it was no big deal. But at the time, if you're 5 years old and your whole class is laughing at you, that's hugely traumatic for a 5-year old, you know? And then we store these memories in our bodies and we don't process them. And especially in this country, stiff upper lip and all of that, you know, we
keep we calm, swallow carry it down. On.
Yeah, it is. It's keep calm, carry on. And I think there's a time and a place for that, but it's really important that you give yourself the time to honor the experiences that you're having and to allow yourself to process how you felt. And one of the key points of the sound Reiki is forgiveness. So I always, it's a guided, fully guided experience. So nobody needs to ever have any, they never need to have any experience of Reiki or anything before that, because it's fully guided. But I will guide them to think of a situation that might have happened with a person or a group of people, and they have the opportunity to find forgiveness for the person and for the experience. And forgiveness is one of these things, like, we all know it's a lovely thing to do, but people find it very difficult when it's a, you know, these things are big, often they run deep, and people struggle to find that forgiveness. But in sound Reiki, the forgiveness is purely for you. So it's just the choice to be set free from whatever it is that's holding you back. And that's usually what gets people.
Wow.
But then it's beautiful because they find that forgiveness and they can then let it go. And that we're not saying it's okay. We're not saying that we want it to happen again. But what we're saying is, I don't want that situation to tarnish the rest of my life. I don't want to be weighed down by that experience that wasn't good, you know, and I'm choosing to move forward in forgiveness so that I can be happier, I can be lighter. Because often when we're carrying resentment, it's only us that it affects anyway, it doesn't affect the other people. So that's the power of it.
That's amazing. So people can come along to your evening that you do at the end of every month, but you also have a website, Sing to Heal.
Yes.
And if people want to go to your website to find out a little bit more about what it is that you do, it's singtoheal.co.uk.
It is.
Screen as well, so that people can see where they need to go. I had a quick look at your website. I mean, it's phenomenal. So you're an intuitive sound healer. But the other thing I found when I went to your website is you also do a coffee, cake and choir.
I do.
Yeah,
which I think it
sounds amazing. It sounds so much fun.
Yeah.
So what brought that idea to come?
Do you know what it was? I've run Evolution, so the choir we're going to talk about in a minute. I've run that choir for 17 years and I love it. I love it like it's one of my children, you know, and I love everyone that comes and it's like a family, and I love the performance and I love all of that. but I really wanted something that was really just fun. You know, Evo is fun, but for me, it takes a hell of a lot of work behind the scenes to deliver the experience for other people. I write these epic arrangements that can sometimes take 8 hours to create, and it takes a lot of planning. And I, you know, anyone in Evo would laugh if they listen to this, because I am really not a planner, except for one time a year when we come back after New Year. I'm always gung-ho and I've always got lists and boards and I'm like, here's how it's going to be. And then 3 weeks down the line, it's all just gone back to how it was before. That's just how I roll. But I wanted something that people could easily access, that didn't require commitment, that wasn't expensive. Because I, again, I've said already, I was diagnosed with anxiety, and I feel like I was one of the people that falls in the gap, because my anxiety was awful and it felt horrendous, but it wasn't severe. So I wasn't a priority. I didn't need to be prioritized into therapy or, you know, for the meds. And I think this epidemic that we have of people struggling with their mental health, a huge percentage of these people fall into that category where it's not urgent. And even the ones that are urgent are still having to wait, right? And what I've learned is that you can have the medication, you can go to the therapy, you can do all of the things. When you yourself are disempowered, if you yourself believe that you don't have any ability to overcome it yourself, then everything else you do only partly works, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was facing the anxiety myself, I was still teaching. I had to. And I started to realize as I was giving the singing lessons that the lessons in singing were mirroring life lessons. For example, someone struggling with a high note, it's never the high note that's the issue. It's always something that's happened before they're trying to hit the high note. It's the same in life. The thing that you think is your big problem is often not the big issue. It's just it's the result of the deeper problem, you know?
The pinnacle and so, of it.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to create something for the community that could help them raise their vibration, just feel good. Because, you know, you can give people anything. If they don't have hope, they don't have much. And no amount of medication or therapy or anything is really going to work if that person doesn't know that they can be okay. And if that person doesn't believe that they have what it takes to come through. And Coffee, Cake and Choir on the surface is just a really fun, it's a drop-in pop-up choir. You pay 10 quid, you come in. I literally choose the song on the day, sometimes the night before, never any further ahead than that. I never write any arrangements. I literally rock up with a sheet of lyrics, hand them out. I listen to the song. Often I don't even know the song myself. We just make it up.
Excellent.
And I've had people come going, is there any way I can have the songs in advance? And I'm like, no, because that's the point. Like, when you're asking to have the song in advance, you are trying to bring a level of perfection to this. And the whole point is, it gets to be fun. It gets to be messy. If we make horrendous noises with our voices, we laugh about it and we go, okay, cool. Let's see if we can make a better noise, you know? And yeah. I didn't want it to be the same as Evo. I wanted it to be for anyone. And I've had people bring their nans. I've had people bring, like, our youngest member is a little baby who's 3 months old. People bring their dogs. You know, it really is. And I've had so many people say, oh, but I can't sing. It doesn't matter, because the way I teach singing and the way that I like to facilitate singing is for the benefit that it brings. And it's nothing to do with how well you sing. It has nothing to do with the sound that you make. It has everything to do with you, again, getting out of your body the message that you want to give or the things that you want to say. And often people can't say how they feel, but they can sing how they feel. And yeah. I'll pick the songs that I think are saying the things that people are really going to want to, you know, portray and say for themselves. And so that's what it is. And we started with like 3 or 4 of us, and now there's almost 50 people on the list. I still don't know what's going to happen if all 50 ever decide to show up at once. There's no room for 50 people.
it is a bigger venue. Yeah. Maybe you can take on the Salisbury, what's it called? Another playhouse, the one next to the playhouse, Art Centre.
That would be a dream.
City Hall, yeah, maybe we'll have to take on that to house all of these people that come on to sing.
It's funny,
very interesting.
That. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I was going to say, I went for my jabs at the City Hall, and I was literally chatting up the people that were around the edge, like, you know, guiding people. And I was like, who do I talk to? How do I get this place? Because, like, this would be amazing. But it's an enormous place, and I think I'd be a bit scared of it. But, yeah, we
it
might need
enormous.
It.
It is currently up for rent, so maybe we'll keep tabs on who decides to take it on, and we'll just hire it out for you.
It would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. So people can direct themselves to you via your website to find out about the Coffee, Cake and Choir. Is that correct?
Yeah. And, you know, you can register. You can register through Eventbrite on the weeks where I remember to set up a link. But okay. Also, you can just rock up. It's 9:30 till 11 every single Tuesday. And do you know what I love? Because we've just had the Easter break. The last two sessions, people have brought their kids. And so this week, we learned our song. We had half an hour left at the end. We just had an impromptu karaoke session. Everyone was singing ABBA. They were singing Ed Sheeran. There was dancing. And it was a proper vibe on a Tuesday morning. Can't beat it.
I'm going to have to nip out of work on a Tuesday morning.
Do it.
Come in. Okay, we're going to take a little break.
We'll be back in a second.
Yes.
So, normally in the show, I get the opportunity to do a random top 10 based kind of as loosey, quite loose.
Quite. Generally, very.
The links are very, very, very tenuous, but based on like the guests that we have or the theme that we have produced for the podcast. So as this one I found quite difficult because evolution, when you start to think about that, you just think of, you know, our evolution as humans and life and everything else.
But and mobile phones, it would appear.
Oh, mobile phones. I went on a complete rant on mobile phones and I can't
we're
use
not going
that.
Down that road.
Yeah. like 2 hours of paper. I was like, what am I doing? This is not, you know. So I thought I would take it back to my part of the podcast, which is music. So I've decided to look at 10 times, my top 10 of times where bands have changed somebody in their lineup for the better. They have evolved. It's absolutely tenuous and random, but
it works.
Here we go. There might be some, I don't know what your musical tastes are other than the Evolution Choir, who are fantastic, obviously, so you have great taste in music. But there might be some here you know or like, but we're just going to give this a go and see how it goes.
So, I generally know about 50% of the things that he does, so let's find out. Go.
none of these are funny, really. This is just literally me indulging myself and looking back at my past loves of bands. So at number 10, we have Mike Patton, who replaced Chuck Mosley as the singer of Faith No More. And they went on to great success releasing their first album with him, The Real Thing. They had songs called Fallen to Pieces and Epic, which was indeed epic. So from my perspective, that's evolution. They got better. Chuck Mosley did one song that was really, really good called We Care A Lot. And we did, but then they got a better singer in Mike Patton. So that's number one. Oh, that's number 10, not number one, because that would just be terrible to start with number one. Number 10. Number nine, a little controversial from my perspective, Van Halen. So David Lee Roth left Van Halen and they replaced him with Sammy Hagar. And they released 4 critically acclaimed albums with him as their lead singer. And eventually he left and David Lee Roth came back. And they still did exceptionally well. But from a perspective of just success and critical success, they were much better with Sammy Hagar than they were David Lee Roth, who went on to have a great solo career. This is where it gets a little weird. I know, you know, anytime you feel like this is like what's going
continue.
On, it's all good. Number 8, The Who. So they had a drummer called Doug Sandham, and they replaced him with the now legendary Keith Moon, who was an absolute party animal, but a phenomenal drummer and really made the Who they were. Eventually, because he passed away and they went through a plethora of different drummers, and they eventually then found the person that would essentially be their drummer, and that was Zach Starkey, who is Ringo Starr's son. He is also the godson of Keith Moon. Now that's evolution for me. That's really, really weird, but
that's actually a cool fact.
Yeah, no. So yeah. There we go. Speaking of Ringo Starr, the Beatles. So Ringo Starr controversially replaced Pete Best very early in their career. And, you know, I think it was John Lennon that said that he wasn't even the best drummer in the band. But there you go.
So was it actually him that made the band better, or was it just the fact that the band got better after he joined?
It's Ringo Starr. Okay. If it wasn't for Ringo Starr, you wouldn't have Yellow Submarine.
We could all live without that one.
That was a bad example, people. I do apologise. Moving swiftly on to number six. One of my favourite bands from back in the early 90s, Nirvana.
Yeah.
So Dave Grohl replaced Chad Channing. Never heard of him. In Nirvana. Went on to great success. And then eventually moved on to the Foo Fighters, where even their drummer is not the best drummer in the band. Again, there's a little bit of a theme going on. Top five. At number five...
I'm just going to go and let my dog in. You carry on.
She's just fed up with them already. It's just me and you then. I do apologise. If you feel the need to put the bins out or something while this is going on, it's all good. Number five. I've never been a huge fan of this band, but it's amazing the amount of songs you kind of know, but Fleetwood Mac. So they originally were just a R&B blues kind of band, and they had a singer and guitarist called Peter Green, who was the actual original kind of member of the band. He started the band. He left, and they replaced him after a couple of times with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, and suddenly Fleetwood Mac hit the big time, and you know, the rest is history for them. We won't say anything about Mick Fleetwood and Sam Fox at the Brits, but we'll move swiftly on to number four, my personal favourites, Bruce Dickinson. Bruce Dickinson replaced Paul Di'Anno's, a local fella from around these parts, in the brilliant band Iron Maiden. Paul Di'Anno released two albums with Maiden, including the Fantastic Killers album. But if you ask anybody who their favorite Iron Maiden singer is, it's most definitely going to be Bruce Dickinson, without a shadow of a doubt. So they went on to massive, massive success. Number three, and I know that our niece Millie is not going to like this one, but AC/DC. Brian Johnson came in after the death of Bon Scott. If you listen to anything that had by AC/DC that Bon Scott was in, it was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant. Did they evolve? Did they get better? Quite possibly, but equally just as good as the stuff that they released before.
If it is the same.
Well, I think they got bigger. That's what I'll say. I think they got bigger.
Probably just more well-known.
Don't mess with the top 10.
Sorry.
All right? See, the thing is, what she doesn't know is she's doing the top 10 next week. So I can sit there and let the dogs out. It's fine. Number two. This is probably the craziest one, if I'm totally honest. Number two, Genesis. So Phil Collins replaced John Mayhew as the drummer in Genesis, and then went on to replace Peter Gabriel as the vocalist in Genesis. And I personally think they got bigger and better.
I agree, they got better.
And so did he. Obviously, he did his solo work as well, which I don't think he would have done if he'd have just stayed the drummer. So, Phil Collins,
Doesn't well it played, draw a man sing? I mean, that's quite a feat.
It does. Yeah.
Okay, carry on. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. And number one, and I don't think this could be in any way, shape or form kind of anything other than number one. So there was a band a long time ago called Smile. And their singer slash guitarist was a guy, singer slash bassist, was a guy called Tim Schaffel, who I'm pretty sure nobody remembers. But he had two other people in the band who you will know, because they were joined by Freddie Mercury and John Deacon, and they became Queen. Probably the biggest band of all time.
Amazing. Love Queen. I bet Evolution Choir do a few Queens.
I bet they do. Must do, surely.
We have in the past, yeah.
That's the best place to do any Queen songs. And that is my top 10 evolution of bands when somebody has left and they've replaced them and got bigger and better. And I promise I will try and shorten the titles of my top 10.
I didn't know half of them. The ones I did know, I had to debate.
Wow, you didn't know half of them?
We're not going to go back over that.
I'll make a playlist. Okay. And that is that. Thank you very much. And we're back.
Hello, was that somebody in the background asking what that noise was?
I was kicking my son out of the room.
Okay, so the final part of this podcast, we're going to talk about Evolution Choir. Yes, so you founded Evolution Choir back in 2007, so it's been going for quite a long time. You must have seen quite a lot of changes in the people that go and how you organise things.
I would say yes and no. In some respects, it doesn't feel any different, because when I took it over, I had no idea what I was doing, and I still feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. but you fall into a rhythm anyway. It's gone through its own evolution. The crazy thing is, it was called En Masse before that, and En Masse on its own was an enormous entity in Salisbury. They used to do sellout shows in the City Hall twice a year. And that's how I came into it. So I was part of that. And then when Robin and Gareth stepped away, I asked if I could keep it going, because genuinely I just was distraught at the thought of not being able to sing every week, because before that, all I could do was sing karaoke, which wasn't really doing it for me. It's like one song if you're picked, you know? And suddenly I'd found this place where I could just go and sing every single week, and we would do shows. And I made some lifelong friends in that choir, and I actually married my husband. So, you know, like truly lifelong,
wow.
friends and connections. So that element of it hasn't changed. The connections that are made and the support network and the community that it provides, I think, was always there. I think what has evolved over the time is I've evolved as a person, I've evolved as a singer, I've evolved as a healer, I've evolved as a leader of a community, and I've as a leader of this choir. And I've become a lot clearer on, like, I understand who we are now, and I understand why we exist and where we fit. Whereas in the beginning, I didn't really understand that. So I tried to do lots of different things before I found the formula that we have now that just works so brilliantly well and seems to be quite different to how lots of other choirs run as well. So the fact that we called it Evolution, I mean, I've said for years that Evolution is a entity all on its own. And I honestly believe that. I just think I'm the one lucky enough to be driving it currently. But it feels magical. The whole thing just feels like magic. And, you know, yes. I was running Evo through some of the hardest times in my life, and I would, you know, I'd be crying that day and I wouldn't want to go anywhere, but I knew I had to show up for Evo. And I would get to the door, and within seconds of hearing those people sing, I just felt better. And I know it wasn't just me. I've been told through the years by various people in there that it just, there's something different about it and nobody can really put their finger on it. So the full name of the choir, actually, I found on one of these game, it was like a name generator that you do for bands, and it was like an emo band name generator. So I don't know what I put in the search engine. I don't know what I put in, but it came up with all these hilarious names. And I actually think our full name is something like Evolution of the Poisonous Toad or something. It's like, like such a funny name. And I was like, well, these are all a bit strange. But I was like, Evolution, I like that. And that was as simple as it was. And it's only been in hindsight now, I'm like, wow, there couldn't have been a better name for this group. For because it's not just that the group has evolved and that I have evolved. Every single person that comes in evolves as a result of being in that choir. They come in and they leave feeling better. They leave with more confidence. They leave with more purpose, more direction. We've had people in that group that have changed jobs, like gone for, like started their own business, booted out no good partners. And do you know what I mean? Like all the things. So it truly is evolution on every level. And it could, like, I can't even take credit for that name. It's just pure divine intervention, I think.
Yeah. I first saw the Evolution Choir, must have been about 11 years ago, at the Salisbury Arts Centre. You did a show, and you could feel the energy coming from the stage. You could feel the connection between the singers. You know, they were looking at each other and they were smiling and they were having fun. And I think when you see that on stage, it instantly makes you have fun. I mean, obviously they're fantastic at singing as well, but it's the energy that you get from it. So, you know, your Sing to Heal journey started way before your Sing to Heal company, arguably.
Way before I had any clue. Like I said, no idea what I'm doing, still none. I've come to learn that I'm being guided by something epic. And it seems to be a good force for good. So I'm here for it. I don't know what
Excellent.
It is. But yeah,
I mean, you also there, you were saying about the people's journeys, the individual singers' journeys. I really love what you've done over the last couple of weeks on Facebook, where you've put a picture and you've put a little bio about the person and then a little quote from the person. I know Alex has just flicked up on the screen the one that was the picture and the quote for yourself last week. And so that's what you've done for quite a few of the members of Evo. And I've been reading it and it's just, it makes me want to join. I can't sing at all, so I won't join. But I
it
cannot wait. Well, I know it won't matter on the 20th of April when I come to St. Paul's Church to sing along and just enjoy the atmosphere with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thoroughly looking forward to that. We've booked our tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job as well. They're nearly all gone.
Yeah. So what is the ticket sales now? Because there was 170 in total, wasn't there, capacity?
There was about 100. So the full capacity of the venue is something like 400. It's enormous. But half of those seats are side seats and the view's not very good. You've got all the pillars in the way. So we decided we would just go for the middle section so that everyone could be central and get the best, you know, experience in there. But we may have to open some of those side seats up because we are literally, I think about, what did I see earlier? I think we're just about 30 away from completely selling out that central section. So
yeah, and you've still got a week, and a lot of people do make last minute decisions, don't they, on what they're going to be doing. Well, I'm going to make sure I get there early and get a non-pillar seat.
Yes, you will. It will. It's going to be argy bargy. It'd be like getting on a bus. You're just going to have to get in there and get your seat. Get there nice and early. We've got the hospitality Sims Hospitality are coming to set up their bar, so you can get in, get a drink, get the best seats. I will say, anyone who thinks that they're going to hide somewhere, there'll be no hiding.
I was just about to say, we're very much looking forward to it, but I'm probably going to sit at the back.
Yeah, that won't matter.
Hiding.
We'll find
you.
Especially now you said that.
No, I know you'd find us. It'll be good.
Pull you to the front.
How much is everybody looking forward to that? Because it's a really, really big thing to go out and do it on your own in that respect, to hire the place and then back yourselves.
Yes, it's been huge. We haven't done it for 6 years. And some of that's for an obvious reason, because obviously we weren't able to. But you're right. It's a huge undertaking and it's a massive gamble. But everyone in the group is massively, massively looking forward to it because they work their tails off in that group. And especially I said to them last night, I got really emotional in the rehearsal, actually, because one of the songs, and I'm not going to give it away, but there is one song that in particular that very much felt channeled when I wrote the arrangement. And I make a joke of this. People say, how do you write such epic arrangements? And I joke and say, the voices in my head sing me the parts. But that's genuinely how it works. I genuinely don't have the musical knowledge to match what I managed to create with these arrangements. It's definitely channeled. And there's one song in particular that when I was recording the parts, I was singing what I thought it would be. And then there was a voice in my head going, that's not it, do it again. And I could hear what it was supposed to be. It was so strange. And last night, there's one line in this song that just takes the roof off. And I heard it in my head. And last night they delivered exactly how I heard it in my head. And I just burst into tears because I was like, wow. Oh my God, like that is exactly how that line needs to go. And I don't know why I get so excited about this stuff, but I just do. It, like I've always said, when I'm old and when I'm on my way out, don't put me in a hospital with meds, put me in the middle of a choir and sing. It will make me feel better. And if it doesn't make me better, it will make me happy. And that's sometimes all you can hope for, right? Is a bit of joy and a bit of hope. Yeah. And that is exactly what we stand for. So I myself can't wait. They can't wait. They have worked so hard. Some of the songs they're doing are new to them. We only learnt them starting in January. And that's a tiny, tiny amount of time to learn a song and perfect it. And because they're my arrangements, they're not simple. Like, you know, they're not even straightforward. And they have nailed these songs. And I'm so excited that they get to show a live audience in this context what they do. Because most of the time we're out on the street with a little Bluetooth speaker. And it's great, but you really don't get to hear the true power of that group. And anyone coming on the 20th, you're going to have an experience. I can say that categorically, confidently. Yeah. Nobody is going to walk out the same as when they walked in. It's pure magic. And yeah, we can't wait.
Love that.
Amazing. Amazing. So also, as well as the big event on the 20th of April, you're also doing an open evening on the 1st of May.
Yes.
That's on Eventbrite, I think, isn't it? Or is that absolutely just an event on Facebook?
It's actually on Eventbrite. I actually got my act together and there's a link and all the things.
So what can people expect from the opening evening? Is that to get new recruits or?
It is. It is. Yep. Because, I mean, you've touched on it already, but we are fully self-funded. We don't receive funding from anywhere else. It's purely from the subs that people pay as members. In all honesty, I ran the figures just after we came out of lockdown and was like, oh, this is not in any way viable. Like, it's just not, because everything has become so expensive. But yeah. I can't do it any differently. I would not put the prices up. It's already on the expensive side for a choir. So the best way we can keep going is to increase our numbers. And we get a lot of inquiries through the year. And people do drop in and out, but I think it can be really intimidating to come into a choir that's in the throes of getting ready for a show. And we're normally getting ready for something. If it's not our own show, then it's usually a run of shows, you know. So we're always really busy over the summer and then we're really busy over Christmas. So we wanted to create one evening that was dedicated to new members. So on the 1st of May, there'll be a brand new song. I have no idea what it's going to be yet. Who knows? but it will be brand new to everybody. So every single person in the room will be in the same boat. We'll be able to explain how the harmony groups work. We'll be able to basically chunk down exactly how Evolution runs and really nurture people when they're coming in, rather than the usual chaos, which is just, yeah, come in, get involved, because that's, you know, it's like a steam train. It just goes. So again, you can register. It's free. register on Eventbrite, register your place. That's purely so we can keep an eye on the numbers. But it's going to be at the same place that the show is, which is nice because there's a bit of continuity there. And yeah, we're really hoping to get some new faces into the group and some new energy into the group as well ahead of the summer season.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much, Lily. I've really enjoyed this chat. Really informative. Music is healing. It really, truly is. We love it, don't we, babe?
We do. I mean, obviously, we're looking forward to the 20th. We're also looking forward to seeing you. I think it's the 18th of May because you're doing People at the Park as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're actually hosting the main stage that you'll be on, so we'll get to actually introduce you as well. So that'll be really, really cool. Yeah,
so well, you'll really be in it by then, the pair of you, so you can
Yeah.
Never say never is the way to go with that question.
Absolutely. So, yeah, do you know the amount of people that come into this group and they're like, oh, I don't know, I can't sing. Oh, I'm never going to go up the front. Like, I just laugh because I know, like, I've told you, Evolution is an entity all of its own. If it wants you in, it will suck you in. There'll be no getting away from it.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing how Evolution keeps evolving.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, Lily.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pause it.
I'm not going to pause it because we're going to do one more thing. I'm just going to run through some quick things that are coming up this week for you guys. Obviously, get your tickets for Evolution Choir. That's the 20th of May. That's the Saturday.
That's number one. Yes.
That's number one. Okay. if they've sold out other things on Saturday, CLS, so Cress's Last Stand, are playing the British Legion break cover. Are playing at the Barford Inn in Barford St. Martin. And the Junkyard Dogs are playing the King's Arms in Amesbury. And if you're around in the afternoon, you could always go and check out Are You Worthy? A musical by Grant Sharkey, which is on at the Winneygate from 2 o'clock. During the week, Poetica at the Winneygate is on Tuesday evening. And then on Thursday, you're spoilt for choice. You can do Follow Comedy Club at Kudos, which is awesome. We've been there and it's really, really good.
We have.
We're hoping to get Joe on the show sometime soon. Don't sit at the front. And also, Fret and Keys are playing the Rude Giant on Brown Street. And that is that, I reckon.
That's it.
That's the first visual audio. That's it. We got no idea how it went. We hope you enjoy it. Let us know in the comments. It's all good. Take care. We'll see you soon.